20th, 2015, another edition of the Ted Brewer Show. We'll be bringing on Doug and Joe Hagman in just a moment. They're good friends of mine. I've known them for several years now. The Hagmans have a multi-million viewing audience on the radio podcast they put out every single night on the Hagman and Hagman Report. I've been on the show many times, and I've asked them to be on the show with me today to introduce them to my audience and to my entire database of the folks who listen to me on a regular basis. But before we bring the Hagmans on, there are a couple of cutting-edge things I want to talk to you about real quick about gluten and about glyphosate. More and more research is starting to come out now. We've talked about this in detail. I want to mention a few health things at the beginning of the show, that the growing epidemic of gluten intolerance and celiac disease is now considered by some to be in a large part caused by glyphosate or Roundup. Extensive detective work by a handful of researchers exposes the dangers of glyphosate linked with the destruction of the gut microbial organisms, resulting in the development of increased intestinal permeability, gut flora, and gluten intolerance. The path of destruction has the potential equivalency of a massive avalanche from a chronic low-level exposure from herbicides. In other words, what they're saying is everything seems to be getting soaked in glyphosate now. We've got wheat being soaked in glyphosate, corn being soaked in glyphosate, oats now being soaked in glyphosate. A lot of the fruit crops are being soaked in glyphosate, and we're getting exposed to this. So listen to me, friends. Try to eat as organic as you possibly can. We know the U.S. is leading the world right now when it comes to heart disease, to diabetes, and to cancer. We know the leading cause of death in our kids other than accidents is cancer, and we have the highest infant death rate of any industrialized nation. Now it's getting worse. Now we're getting celiac disease off the charts, all these problems with intestinal problems, all of these problems with these folks have colitis and rectally hemorrhaging ulcerative colitis, and so much of this is directly linked to what we're eating, and a lot of the problems are linked directly to glyphosate. Joe, Doug, my pleasure having you guys on today. Thanks so much for joining me.
Ted, thanks very much for having us. And by way of introduction, if I could just speak briefly to your audience, just let them know that folks, one of the things that Dr. Ted Brewer does is he's extremely, extremely intelligent in matters of health. And I just want to reaffirm something here Ted, we haven't talked before the show. But I want to let your audience know that you have really changed my life in terms of, my blood sugar, being a type 2 diabetic, was out of control. I was, really hours, days away, if you will, of being put on insulin to control it. And through your intervention, through the blood protocol that you've got on your website, at healthmasters.com. I've got to say that my life has changed, and I want to say thank you so much for that. So if anyone out there has any doubts as to the abilities of Dr. Brewer, please don't even think twice. And I just wanted to make sure I got that out first before we got on some different topic and didn't get a chance to say that. And I just want to thank you publicly for everything you've done.
Joe, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been my pleasure. I remember last year when I was talking to you about your blood sugar, it was over 400, and you said, I don't know what to do. They had me on all these drugs. I'm also on metformin. Nothing's working. I feel absolutely awful. And I said, well, we can probably fix that. All we have to do is change your diet, get you on some supplements, which ended up developing the blood sugar protocol by Hagman & Hagman on the Health Masters website. And so I'm just blessed to be part of your recovery, and I'm so glad you're doing so well, Doug. And thanks so much for saying that. I appreciate it. Now, I know that you guys are on the cutting edge of what's going on in the world with the Greek thing, with Jade Helm, with all the information that's going on. I want you guys to kind of just take the show and go where you want to go with it today, because I completely trust you guys. I know that your son's joining you too. Joe's there with you, Doug, and so you both can just kind of carry the show. Because what I want you to do is be exposed to our listening audience, and we've got a lot of people who get these emails every single week. We're going to be sending a direct link. We sent it out yesterday, letting everybody know that you were going to be on. So hopefully we have a huge listening audience for you right now. And I just want to let everybody know that Doug has a giant audience. He literally has up to 800,000 people listening to him every single night on the Hagman and Hagman Report, millions a week. And so he's one of the largest podcasts in the world, routinely one of the top 20 downloads on iTunes every single week of news stories. So it's always been my pleasure to be on with his show on a regular basis, and I thank him for that. But go ahead, Joe. You go ahead and lead with what you want to go with as far as the story with the Greece default or whatever you want to talk about. Go ahead and take the show.
Well, Ted, thanks for having us. We do have the Jade Helm about to be started on the 15th of July. We do have the Greek debt crisis. There's also a story, you know, we see the Supreme Court same-sex marriage decision came down. Well, also today, Ten Commandments statue must be removed from state capital. This is Oklahoma Supreme Court rules. The Oklahoma Supreme Court ruled the Ten Commandment monument in the state capitol must be removed because it indirectly benefits the Jewish and Christian faiths in violation of the state constitution, they say. We're seeing a lot of it, judicial activism. And it is frightening to see how much these judges are infiltrating, you know, the laws, these issues, and then changing the laws based on their individual, you know, it seems that they are, with Obamacare and with the same-sex marriage, they have went along their own personal interest and party interest lines.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, isn't it rather ironic, when I say ironic, look at what's taking place all across the world, and is it a coincidence, is it by accident that we see this this really immoral and illegal, if I might add, Supreme Court decision coming down at the very same time that we see things like, well, you've got the Greek monetary crisis. Of course, it's been brewing for a while. You've got a number of other monetary balloons about ready to pop, and that's going to bring us down economically. You've got ISIS threatening here in America, and ISIS, and you know, Ted, we've talked about this before. ISIS, the acronym, what it stands for, of course, as well as ISIS being the acronym or the name of the Egyptian goddess. And you know, all of this happening to me, and from an investigative standpoint, if we were looking at a crime scene, I would have to say that all of these issues are related to the larger crime scene, both well, with respect to actors or the subjects involved in the crime, the motives, the means, the opportunities. I really believe that we are at a cultural, governmental, financial precipice right now. And I think it's been orchestrated. And you know what? You've talked about this in our show, too. And I'm sure the listeners of your show have had the benefit of your insight into the larger picture. But I think what we really need to do is take a look at every one of these headlines. And I don't care if it's the homosexual marriage headline or the what Joe was talking about, the Oklahoma Ten Commandments statue, or if it's the Greek issue, monetary issue, or if it's Puerto Rico now, about ready to go. Or, equally important, is the racial fuse that was lit long ago, and it's being the fire really is being stoked up here by the renegade, as well as his renegade in chief, as well as his people around him and his facilitators. We are at the moment, at any moment, any one of these events could set off an unstoppable chain of events, I believe, that will thrust America into really a civil war. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. A civil war that could ignite a revolution, but certainly a civil war, especially when you look at, and Joe and I were talking about this earlier, and Joe, feel free because to chime in here. When you look at the ideological divide among family members, specifically with the homosexual marriage fiasco, the ideological differences within families is as great, I would submit, as great, if not greater, than the first Civil War that we had here in America in terms of breaking families apart, because this is a matter of religion, it's a matter of faith, it's a matter of behavior and morality, and you've got polar opposites, generational polar opposites, as well, that are really creating this environment that I believe are opening us up to some things that we have not seen in since the first Civil War in terms of the divide. and I know, Joe, you and I were talking about this earlier, you know, what should we be most concerned with? Joe, I think I would submit to you right now, when you look at the brawl at the South Carolina State House over this, the flag, when you see people in New York City burning the American flag, what have we done? I mean, what is going on here with respect to the motivation behind this, just behind this alone? I mean, this is a symptom of something much deeper. That's kind of my thought.
Well, I agree with you, Doug, 100%. And you know, it's interesting because I was just listening to over the yesterday's show with Alex Jones, and he was interesting. He was talking about how they had this man going out on the street, and they were petitioning that we basically get rid of the American flag, and they would replace it with an all-seeing eye pyramid in rainbow colors, you know, for the symbolizing the gay agenda. And 70% of the people who they asked to sign the petition signed a petition to get rid of and destroy Old Glory. And it's really kind of sad because it just shows you how incredibly dumbed down the United States is on the statin drugs, on the fluoride, on the tricyclic antidepressants, on the serotonin reuptake inhibitors. This list goes on and on and on. And the sadly, you know, what we're not even realizing is that, you know, Deutsche Bank right now over in Germany, where they're a global bank, of course, they have close to $100 trillion in derivatives that they've written themselves, just that one giant bank. And they're signed deeply into the derivatives and into the market with Greece. And if Greece actually defaulted, there's a possibility that they could set up a chain reaction at Deutsche Bank, which would take the entire global economy back into a tailspin like in 2008. So, you know, we've been signed on to close to $2 trillion in derivatives, best estimate we can get. Some say as high as $5 trillion in derivatives. I'm sorry, quadrillion dollars in derivatives, $2 quadrillion. This $1,000 trillion mark is kind of hard to even remember what the doggone terms are. So the sad part about it is I think you're absolutely right. I think the United States has just been doped and drugged into such a stupor that they really don't know what's going on. And sadly, you could ask them about the sports teams. They know all about that, or what Kim Kardashian's latest wardrobe is, or about Bruce Jenner and his strangeness, or anything else that's going on. And they can tell you all about it, but they can't even tell you whether they want to keep the American flag or not. This is sad, Doug.
You know, if I can interject something on that, I did see that video. And the video you're talking about is Mark Dice, and he goes out to, in my view, I mean, he does some good work, but let me just add something here to this. I believe you're talking about he's on the left coast of California. And look at the demographic that he is approaching. I mean, usually, okay, he's at the beachfront area, you know, surfing area. It's a pretty transient area. Now, that's not to say that these people are not uninformed. They certainly are uninformed and gullible and programmable and programmed. However, I would submit if he would do this, and I think what we're seeing here are geographically disparate areas within the United States. If you would run that same poll with a different demographic in a different part of the country, I think it would have different results. Now, that's not to excuse what we saw. It's just to remove any hyperbole behind the problem. We don't have to really hype up the problem. We know the problem's there. And again, I'm not trying to disparage anything he's doing or anything like that, but I guess my chief complaint would be the demographic that he's appealing to and the people. I mean, what would you expect if you stop somebody that looks like a pincushion that's been painted up with tattoos and wearing his pants around his ankles, and you ask him about something political, you know, what would you expect? What kind of response would you expect? And I think, and again, it's not to disparage, you know, what he's doing, but I think we have to look at the bigger picture. And, however, that threat of, that imbecilic threat of insanity is throughout this entire nation at this point. People are, and you're right too. People have been dumbed down through the nutraceutical or the pharmaceuticals and the chemtrails and whatever else, the fluoride, the plastic and the component of the plastic. So yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it's sad. But I do believe that there's an element there that exists within our population that's still ready to say, you know, or not ready to give up yet, and ready to say, look, there's a problem, and we have to address it right now. And I like to think that's the case anyway.
Well, you know, I was thinking the same thing when I was listening to the show with him today. I thought, you know, why don't they ask me this? Why don't they ask Doug Hagman this? Why don't they ask Dave Hodges this? I mean, why don't they go to somebody who's an upper level person, maybe in an organization that's actually dressed in a coat and tie, that's dressed real, real nice, and who's actually obviously well educated, who's over the age of 30, you know, who's around 60 years of age, and ask them about destroying Old Glory? I can guarantee you they'll get a completely different response. The sad part about it is, though, the vast majority of the population of the kids now, under the age of 20, under the age of 25, they really don't have any idea of reality any longer, what's actually happened and what it took to get to the United States to where it is from a freedom standpoint. They don't even teach history prior to 1880 anymore in the high schools, Doug.
That's an excellent point. I was talking to a gentleman who's going to be deploying to Kuwait in August, and he was telling me about his children enrolled, which he's removing from the public school system. And the children he's got, talking about the history lessons that they're teaching, it's really revisionist history. It's incredible. I mean, age appropriate, yes. However, it's just totally, it's not right. It's not correct. It's biased toward this, I'm going to say, a Marxist, if not communist, point of view. It's incredible what is being taught out there in schools. And if you're a parent, or even a grandparent, get involved in what your children or grandchildren are learning. My goodness, you would be surprised if you, or even go to like Costco or Sam's and look at the book section, because they've got Common Core math books and social study books and history books. Take a look, pick one of those up, spend a few minutes. You would be absolutely shocked to see what they're teaching and how they're teaching what they're teaching. But get involved.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. That's why Sharon and I, we homeschool our kids. We have a 12, 14, and a 16-year-old. They're all homeschooled. Last year, Harrison was a sophomore in high school. He was 15, and he passed his college entrance exams, and he started taking these different classes at the university. And now this past year, he's completed 29 hours as a sophomore. He'll be going into his junior year in high school with 29 collegiate hours. He'll probably do 40 hours this coming year and another 40 hours. So almost be done with his bachelor's degree by the time he gets out of high school. And I'll never forget the first time he came home, he was taking sociology. He says, "Dad, you can't believe what these people believe. They taught me about feminism today. I didn't know people actually thought like that." He goes, "That doesn't even make any sense." And he goes, "This is crazy." Then he took a class in ethics this last semester. He goes, "Dad, you can't believe what they're teaching me in ethics. They're teaching me it's okay to murder babies. It's okay to have all these different views of points of view as far as sexuality. It's okay. You can't judge anybody." He goes, "This is completely and diametrically opposed to everything you've ever taught me as a child during homeschool." He goes, "These people are really confused. They're very, very messed up." And I laughed and I said, "Harrison, just play the game. Here's how a university works. They tell you, this is the game. These are the classes you have to take. You have to do this to win the trophy, which is your diploma at the end of the game, so you have to play the game." And I said, "If you don't want to play the game to start with, when they tell you what the rules of the game are, go play a different game. Go do something else." And I said, "But this is just a game. Just pretend like these guys really don't know what they're talking about, but they're the ones that can give you an A, a B, a C, or a D in this course. And so they're the ones that are going to determine what you do as far as your grade point average. So just play the game." And I said, what I used to do in college, when I was in graduate school at Florida State, we have a professor in economics, and they would be telling me all of these things about the macro or microeconomic world, and I would answer the question on the exam the way they wanted me to answer it. Then I would put down below that portion, I would say, "By the way, I've answered your question now, but I don't think that's the right answer, but I don't want you to grade me on this point. This is what I think the real answer is to that question. This is what I think the real variables are that are involved in the answering of that question." And so many times when I would do that, Doug, the professor would put you like a smiley face or the equivalent thereof on the test and give me like a +5, because they were actually saying, "Wow, he's actually thinking and actually thinking a different way." But now, of course, that was 40 years ago. Now they don't want you to do that anymore. Now they want you to be like a little robot and tell them exactly what they want to hear and regurgitate everything they say. It's really kind of sad.
Yeah, and that was my experience in school. You would be expected to think out of the box and approach things from different angles. However, that's a different generation, indeed. Yeah, one more thing, Ted, that I want to bring up, and Joe's been on this too. We've been doing research together here for the larger part of the day, and we've been doing this over the last week. One thing that's lost amid all of the headlines of the homosexual agenda and, of course, the assault on our liberties is the what's in the offing here with the Trans-Pacific Partnership being ushered in through the TPA. And the TPA was just signed into law yesterday, I believe it was, after having passed for Obama's signature. And what's taking place here with fast-tracking the Trans-Pacific Partnership? The language making it this living agreement is so dangerous. It could actually lead to a permanent ceding of the Senate's authority to ratify treaties. And the push to fast-track, you know, this bill is not about free trade. It's about the consolidation of power. It's about whether Congress trusts Obama or the next president or the next president after that, if we have any of those, to rewrite the regulatory rules for the world. Or if you believe that the Senate's two-third treaty ratification power should be preserved. If you, you know, if a person thinks that, then of course that's a normal way to think, and that's logical. But what we're seeing right now with the TPA, the Trade Promotional Authority, as it relates to the TPP, which is a Trans-Pacific Partnership, this is turning, well, the summary that the TPP is a living agreement, meaning that whoever the president might be, in this case Obama, at the putative president at the moment, the guy in the White House, he could update, he could change, he could revise this agreement as appropriate to address any number of issues in the future, to expand the agreement to include new countries. This means, and people are just not getting this, but participating nations could as well add countries to the TPP without congressional approval. For example, China. We could be talking about, well, really, the formation of a new world order right now, or a one world order. By throwing China in there, you would have upwards of 90% of the world's economy wrapped into this one agreement. And the far-reaching implications of this, even the Congressional Research Service is not even reporting on this with respect to the magnitude. When you're looking at this international trade agreement, the implementation legislation of the trade agreement, things that could supersede if things, for example, would conflict with federal, state, or local laws here in the U.S., we are being told that American law, U.S. law, would trump that. The truth is, the way this agreement is being presented via the TPA, and look, I understand people are saying, well, you don't know what's in the TPP. No one does except a handful of people and 600 corporations, the creators. Well, you know, why is it being done in secret? The bottom line here is Jeff Sessions, being a source on this, is stating that, for example, from what he's seen of the deal, that the United States laws, the state's laws, our federal laws, could be subjugated to international law on international trade, as well as things like immigration, gun control even. I mean, this is a far-reaching piece of legislation or a far-reaching treaty, and it's being done in secret. And I know, Joe, I'm kind of hogging the time here, but what we're seeing here, Ted, is just something totally, absolutely. Well, this is a takeover,
the Rothschild banking cartel. And mind you, there's no reason to pull any punches on this with my listening audience. They know how I feel about all this. The Rothschild Sabatine Frankist Kabbalist, Luciferian group that's doing all of this and has been doing this for several hundred years globally, and for a lot longer than that with the Babylonian money magic going all the way back to Babylon and to Nimrod and all the stuff they learned through all of that. These clowns, these guys who actually trace their lineage back to the Nephilim, to the, they say they're sons of Lucifer in the bloodline. I mean, they actually believe this. Now, whether you think they're nuts or not, doesn't really make any difference. They really believe this. They don't care if they destroy the whole planet. I mean, they wanted one of these TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreements, is if they decide that you can never, ever label a GMO, or if they, all these countries that are part of the TPP have to accept GMO products and food goods, and we can't label it or even find out, they can supersede the laws of the United States or the states' rights. This is turning into a giant global conglomerate, just a giant monopoly run by the oligarchs that are going to be running this portion of the world, and they'll tie it all together with the European Union zone, which they control that too, and pretty soon they're going to own the entire planet, which they pretty much already do, but they don't like the way we have freedom and we can actually vote and cause them to have a problem in the House or the Senate. They want to make sure they can do it without even bothering to, you know, talk to us or to our representatives, and they just carte blanche tell us what we are and what we are going to do. Basically what it's doing, this is unraveling the Magna Carta at its heart, and just telling us all that we're just all slaves and that we have no rights and that we're going back into a feudal system with the haves and the have-nots. That's about how I look at it.
Well, you're exactly right in that assessment. And I think that we have to prepare ourselves, too, for the eventuality. And I do believe it's really kind of a done deal here. It's just a matter of when they bring down the dollar, when they take the U.S. dollar down as a reserve currency. And people have no clue, Ted, what that means, what effect that's going to have upon, you know, Americans and our economy. I mean, if you want insight, look at what happened in Germany, you know, pre-war Germany, look at the Weimar Republic, look at Argentina. You got plenty of examples with hyperinflation.
Look at Greece right now. I mean, when the obese American population wakes up and they go to their ATMs and they can't get any cash out and their checks start bouncing and they start seizing all of their money in their accounts with little they have left, that's when they're going to say, wait a minute, maybe the Hagmans and Brower and Hodges and maybe these people were right. Maybe, you know, we had a problem here, but by then it'll be too late. The takeover will be completely finished.
You're right.
Yeah, and it's what my dad said about, you know, letting other countries in through the back door. I think that this is something we're going to see with the TPP. I think China will be.
Joe, I've got you breaking up real bad. I can't hear you, buddy. You're kind of getting about every other word.
Is this any better? No. I'm not sure what's going on there. Yeah, I heard that. You know what, Ted, the bottom line here is we are at, to me anyway, and I think you feel the same way. I think we're at a point right now where chaos is the rule of the day. There's chaos everywhere. And I personally, you know, I do believe the chaos is because of what we're doing here with respect to the we've kicked God out of the schools, we've kicked God out of our classroom, we've kicked God out of our country. And I think, and whether people choose to believe this or not, I do believe that by doing this, by engaging in these actions,
Doug, you there, Jug? I think I lost you. You there, Doug? Okay, I'm hearing every other word with you now, Doug.
Oh, my, okay.
There you go. Now you're
That's
back.
Interesting.
Now you're back.
And yet we're on a hard line phone. So,
well, that doesn't surprise me with you guys. I can't even send you emails half the time. They're kicked back to me.
Yeah. At any rate, so this is a war against the middle class. This is a war against America. This is a war against Christians and conservatives and people of, you know, values. The people who God, guns, and guts that particular target. We all have crosshairs on our backs at this point, and frankly, we are in a situation where I truly believe that here that this summer, in particular, as we enter into the month of July and into the month of August. I think we're going to have a pretty hot summer, and I think I'm looking forward to September, October. You know, I don't know if anything is going to happen, but boy, I'll tell you something. If something major would be to happen in the fall of this year, I wouldn't be surprised, given not if for no other reason, just the totality of events that are shaping up. And now, Teddy, did you see this? We're being cautioned now by the Department of Homeland Security about potential terror attacks in the around the 4th of July and ISIS attacks around the 4th of July. Have you seen that?
Well, no, I haven't. The sad part about that is just to bring more fear. Because, see, it's easier to rule a country of sheep when they're scared to death. And it's easier to make people scared to death when you keep telling them that you're going to have an attack, an attack, an attack, an attack. When you and I both know that ISIS and all these different organizations over the Middle East are sponsored through our CIA and basically trained and developed through our CIA and funded through our CIA. If it wasn't for our funding and our training, they wouldn't even exist. And sadly enough, I mean, even Putin said this week, he said, we just need to get together, the West and Russia, and just take care of ISIS once and for all. Just get rid of these guys and be done with them. This is not a threat unless we want it to be a threat. It's kind of like the war on cancer that's been going on since, you know, Richard Nixon way back in the 70s, which was an unwinnable war because no matter what kind of cure they find for cancer from a natural standpoint, it can never be marketed because of the cost of doing the research on it, the double-blind clinical research and the hundreds of millions of dollars that has to be done to get it approved through the Food and Drug Administration can never be recaptured because all the natural remedies for cancer cannot be patented. And so they can't get them back from a drug standpoint, so they don't want them to be released. And it's sad to me because, you know, we have so many things that are going on right now that can be fixed so easily if the people, the sheeple, would just wake up and realize that they're still in control, that we have there's a lot more of us than they are them. But that's why they want to scare us like this. Well, we're going to have a terrorist attack. We're going to have this attack. We're going to have that attack. And sadly, you know, they do this over and over and over and over again, and then suddenly we'll have a 9/11, or suddenly we'll have a Waco, or suddenly we'll have a Ruby Ridge, or suddenly we'll have some kind of thing that'll happen that's bad, like a Pearl Harbor. And what they do, that's called an intermittent reinforcement continuum in psychology. They give you something really bad every once in a while, and they constantly warn you of it, but in your mind you have this intermittent thing that happens. You never know when it's going to happen. And that response, that fear response, when you do it that way, with that Hegelian dialect, that problem, accident, solution, and you constantly throw something bad into the mix, it's a response that human beings find almost impossible to extinguish. And when you look at it in a psychological lab, it's literally one of those things that you can't get a person to stop having the fear if you occasionally throw in a terrorist attack. And it's sad because they know how to do this. They know how to manipulate the human psyche, and that's what they do on a regular basis, Doug.
Yeah, you're exactly correct. And you know, I do believe that there's a level of awareness that's increasing. I mean the bar of awareness among at least the, I'll say the people 40 and above, I think that their awareness is increasing. And I think that the people who before, maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, had no questions about the origins or the facts surrounding 9/11, for example, now have very serious and very logical questions. It's interesting, however, the media, the corporate media, the captured media, haven't kept up with the level of interest. So people are turning more toward shows like yours, and hopefully shows like ours, to get what's really on the people's mind and exposing the truth out there of the Hegelian dialectic and the as it relates to, for example, terrorism. In the state of war that we're perpetually in.
You know what, Doug? This is interesting. A few months back, I was on a show. It was a big show, probably one of the top 10 talk shows in America. And the guy was an extremely right-wing conservative. And he was talking about, it was a nighttime show, and he was going into all this stuff about Obama this and Obama that and Obama this and Obama that. And I'm going with him. I'm saying, you're right, Obama this, Obama that, Obama this. And finally, I said something to him. I was on the show for like 10 or 15 minutes. Things were going great. And finally, I said, but you know, the thing you got to realize is it was George Bush who brought us the Patriot Act. And yes. I said, it was George Bush that had under his watch that 9/11 happened. And I said, and quite frankly, I have no idea how Building 7 came down. Most people didn't even know there was a Building 7. It was never even promoted by the news. That interview was over with within 15 seconds. And then he said on the news, he said on the news after he cut me off, I had a friend of mine listening to it. He was listening to it at night. He's a UPS mechanic. He actually had it turned on. He got a kick that I was on that big show. And he said the guy came back on and said, anybody who thought that 9/11 wasn't exactly what they told us it was nuts. And I started laughing because he wouldn't say that to me when I was on the air, but he said it after I went off the air. And here's the thing that we're finally starting to see with the over 40 group that you say are waking up, which they are waking up. We know from where we've fallen now. We were here in this country before this tyranny enveloped us. We remember what it was like to not have to worry about Child Protective Services, you know, coming down to the door and arresting you for having your son playing basketball outside for 30 minutes before you got home. Or having somebody drop a dime on you and having all hell break loose for 2 years while you have to fight Child Protective Services and you didn't even do anything. We know, and there's enough of us now who've been exposed to all of that junk that we know from the height from which we've fallen. Just a few moments ago, I had a PhD in child psychology, Baptist pastor called me up. Good friend of mine, Pastor Dan Wade, Dr. Dan Wade. I've known him for, gosh, 20-something years. And he's like 82 years old now. And he said to me, he goes, Ted, he goes, finally, people are starting to wake up after the marriage thing happened last week with the Supreme Court. He goes, this country has become so absolutely absorbed in the sin and the filth. And he goes, it's 100% the fault of the clergy. The clergy have not told the people the truth because they're so concerned about losing their 501(c) status that they're willing to compromise in every different aspect of their life. And a lot of these major mega preachers that are running around saying, you give me money, you'll be blessed, everything's happy, 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 haven't read the book of Revelation where it's not so happy. And these guys are going to be basically the ones that are going to be doing the marriage ceremonies for the gay guys. Say, well, it's the law of the land. Romans 13 says we've got to obey the law of the land and obey the king. Well, I got a news flash for everybody. I've said this before. We don't have a king in the United States. We have a constitution. We had a constitution. They're shredding it little by little. And the reality is, if we lose the rule of law, which we are losing as we speak, there won't be any United States left. There won't be anybody and any rights left here, especially if Jade Helms goes hot, or if the Russians invade, or the Chinese invade, or somebody launches an EMP strike against the United States, or we lose the international reserve currency of the dollar, and the petrodollar goes away. Then we're going to find out very, very quickly where we are, because we'll be like Greece, in which we'll have all this debt, and we'll have no ability to pay it back, because we'll have nobody buying our debt. Because as long as we're in a debt-based economy, we have to increase the M1 money supply by debt, which is ridiculous. We never had to do that until 1913, until the Rothschild banking cartel took control of the United States. It was so funny yesterday. I was at Jekyll Island. I actually went to Jekyll Island. I broadcast from Jekyll Island yesterday for the show. And we were there at the Hunt Club where the folks met in Jekyll Island. And we were in the actual room. They call it the Federal Reserve Room at the Hunt Club. It's still there. And it's got all the names on the walls of the people that were there along with photographs. And then this meeting took place in 2010, and in 1910, and in 2010, in the exact same room where the Federal Reserve met, there was a big picture of Bernanke on the wall along with Greenspan, and they were both laughing, having a blast in this photograph. And I started laughing, and I thought, this is ridiculous. I said, these guys are obviously having a hoot that they started the takeover of the United States 100 years before, and they're in the exact same room, and how far the United States has fallen. And it's sad to me that the American population still thinks the Federal Reserve Bank is federal and the government runs it. But now we're starting to wake them up. Ron Paul has really awakened a lot of folks. You guys on your show, Dave Hodges, and we're finally telling people, until we get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank in the United States, we're never going to have the right country back again, because we'll never have sound money again, Doug.
And Ted, this is Joe. I'm back. Hopefully you can hear me.
You're perfect now. Yeah, you're perfectly.
We've driven past Jekyll Island a few times, never had the opportunity to stop. And yeah, you know, the whole issue with the Federal Reserve is we are paying interest to print and use our own money when the founders of the Constitution never intended that to be the case. You know, Congress shall have the power of the purse. They transfer that power over, and because we pay interest to use our own money, they have racked up this scheme. They call this, you know, their magic, their money magic through interest.
Yeah, with a K. And just to kind of segue into something a little bit different, but on the same path, I should say. The graduated income taxes, the middle class. If people just remember or studied what Karl Marx taxes, or what Karl Marx called graduated income taxes, which essentially meant that through taxation, socialist transfer programs became much easier to put in place as a stealth transfer system. So, I mean, we know, too, that the graduated income tax has been the norm in America for the last almost 100 years. We know that the graduated income taxes are not constitutional. But thus far, who's done anything about it to end this system, this system of confiscation? Nobody. And we've got people in prison. Erwin Schiff is in prison for life, basically. A political prisoner, to say the least, for challenging the income tax system. And he was put into jail, put into prison, when he challenged the Constitution, or when he said, when he attempted to bring the Constitution up in the court of law. And the judge says, the Constitution has no place in my courtroom. So, you know, from the Federal Reserve to the graduated income tax system, we're just, and you know, that's how we got here. And I think, and of course, the fiat money system, as you talk about, the reason we're here, on the heels of Greece, I suppose, is exactly for the reasons we just mentioned. But people need to wake up. Perhaps, Ted, when they might wake up when they go to the ATM, or no, when they go to Starbucks, present their ATM card and it doesn't work. They can't buy their $4 cup of coffee. Maybe that's when people will wake up. I don't know.
I think of all the trendies. I've got a pastor friend of mine. He's a trendy. And he's a good preacher. He's actually one of the best speakers I've ever heard. But he's got a trendy trendy congregation. He's trendy. He's always got just the right hairstyle, just the right clothes, just the right suit, just the right shoes on. And it was so funny. One day I spoke for him many times. He's got a huge church. I spoke for him many times. And one day I got off and I wasn't politically correct with what I said. I've never been asked to speak for him again because I guess I didn't trend properly as far as the church was concerned. But we're still good friends. And the thing that was sad about all of this is that, you know, you're absolutely right. Unless it's trendy for your ATM not to work, unless it's trendy to be in the streets starving to death, if it's trendy and they can make it trendy, then everybody will say, hey, wow, look at him. He's starving to death. He's trendy. And I mean, the sad part about it is that we have become such a nation of sheeple and followers that we really think that what Kim Kardashian is wearing, what Bruce Jenner wants to do with his sexual parts, is something that's more important than what's going on with the Constitution of the United States. It's unbelievable, Doug and Joe, that we've actually gone to this level of depravity, and they started it all with hedonism. They started it back in the 50s with Playboy magazine, with Hugh Hefner, and they started bringing pornography into the mainstream, and then they did it under mind control, MK Ultra mind control experiments with a lot of these Hollywood starlets, including Marilyn Monroe. And they ended up bringing it all the way into this perversion that we have today that we now know as the American culture. And it was all about hedonism, lovers of themselves, lover of money, lover of pleasure, and never thinking about the other person involved and how that's affecting them and how we should love one another and treat one another with respect like you and I learned when we were in school. That's all gone now. They don't do that anymore. The whole thing's about me, 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 and we become the me world, me generation. And you're absolutely right. When the trendy ones can no longer get their $4 cup of coffee at Starbucks, then they're all going to either be real trendy with all that, or they're going to be very, very upset when they find out the truth, Doug.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned Bruce Jenner earlier, and I don't know if anyone has thought of this, but I do know that Jenner, what I do know is, he's physically changed into a woman. At least that's the story, I guess, right? If that's the case, he has a couple of extra parts that maybe he could lend to some of our lawmakers. Okay.
Well, he said he wasn't going to get the his extra parts cut off. He said that he was not attracted to men. He's still attracted to women, but he wants to be a woman. I actually read an article when this sicko, because I was doing a news story on. I thought. I guess I need to figure out what he's going to say because everybody's going to ask me if they call in. And sadly, that's what he said. He's not attracted to men. He's still attracted to women, and he's not going to have his genitalia removed, so to speak. And so, but the whole point about it is the fact that I even know that saddens me. I shouldn't even know that. I don't care what the guy does with his private parts. The sad part about it is the population of the country knows more about this than they do anything we're talking about today. I mean, nobody's thinking about Greece or about Deutsche Bank or about what's going on in that the Chinese stock market dropped over 20% in the last week and it rebounded today 3 or 4% because I'm sure the Chinese National Bank that's owned by the Rothschilds, I may add, has bought up a bunch more of the Chinese stock to slow down the fall of the Chinese stock. Stocks, so it wouldn't be a contagion that would spill over into Europe and into the United States. Because remember, our Federal Reserve Bank now has printed so much money they've given to their member corporations through their interlocking corporate directorships that they've allowed them to go in now and buy up the Dow Jones at the super high levels that it is now. And whenever there's a problem with it, they just go ahead and long the market and they start throwing a bunch of money into it. Same thing to do with the gold and silver markets and how they're constantly being shorted. And what they do is completely control through their high-frequency trading what's going on with the Dow, what's going on with gold, what's going on with silver. And these central banks, if they can ever get rid of currency, cash, dollar bills, and all go to digital, they can manipulate everything for probably as long as they want to. There's really nothing any of us can do about it, Doug.
Well, and that's exactly where they're going with this, the cashless society. This is the aim, and it also is incorporated through the electronic health records. They're trying to implement, you know, this RFID chip through the health system. They call it the Internet of Things. And through this, they talk about implementing an economic aspect to this chip. So it not only has public health records and personal identity, it also has economic functions as well.
Yeah, and Ted, I you're going to be the first to hear this, you and your audience. I had a meeting when Joe and I were in D.C. 2 weeks ago. We developed a source, and this source, I had a meeting earlier today with this source, not in D.C., but somewhere else, and I was handed a stack of papers. Now, a lot of this is open source material. However, some of this is not. And I was told, okay, and this really blew my mind. Joe mentioned about the digital currency. When our troops went over to Iraq, and I understand people know this, but there is what's called a biometrics automated it's a BAT modality. In other words, it's a facial recognition. Where people would understand it. It's facial recognition, iris scanning, and DNA and fingerprinting all in one. It looks like a Polaroid camera. And what we did in Iraq with just about all of the citizens, we put all of the Iraqis through this BAT or biometrics awareness system, took DNA, their fingerprints, and photographs. Again, like it would be like a Polaroid camera without the picture coming out the bottom, and created a database. This is a beta test of what is they intend to roll out here in the United States. I don't know how much you know about this, or I was astounded by what I saw.
Well, no, it's all going to retinal scanning, biometrics. Yesterday, I was at Jekyll Island. We stopped at the gift shop, and I had to use my credit card to get something. And I put the credit card in, and she goes, "Well, hang on, you can't do that. Well, you can't just scan it now. You have to put it in and insert your chip." I said, "What do you mean I have to insert my chip?" She goes, "Well, there's a biometric chip in there. It tells us all about everything, apparently, your transaction, and you have to leave that in there, and they have to read the whole chip before you can buy this product." And I'm like, "Well, I don't want to do that." She goes, "Well, the card won't work without it. We can't take it." And I went, "Oh, that's just not very good." But real quick, I got to do some, let me do some housekeeping real quick. This show is being brought to you by healthmasters.com. I will not turn this show into an infomercial. I will not have 30 or 40 minutes every hour talking about our products at HealthMasters. I will not do that. That is not why you are listening to this show. I would like for you to support healthmasters.com. You can go to the website. You can sign up for our free newsletter, for your free email that we send out 3 times a week to a very, very large subscriber base. And there's no cost whatsoever. That's how you found out about the show today, if you're listening to it. So I want everybody to sign up for the email, help to support our products. We have the highest quality nutraceutical products in the world. Hagman blood sugar protocol there. The Dave Hodges joint formula is there on the front page, plus a whole bunch of other really good testimony letters and newsletters that I have personally written. Also, the Hagmans will be with me next week in Washington, D.C. with the Rodney Howard Brown Crusade that he's having in Washington, D.C. They will be speaking on Monday and Tuesday night. I will be speaking on Thursday and Friday night. I will be going up on Sunday for the entire seminar. And I'm hoping that a lot of you guys can do it. Go to revival.com with Rodney Howard Brown. That's revival.com to get full information on that. This is going to be a life-changing event. Also, Coach Dabbermeyer is going to be there too. He'll be supporting this too. We are always being asked, well, what can I do to do something different? What can I do to help change? You need to go sign up for this seminar with Rodney. It's a church thing, so it's Christian. So don't get offended if he's talking about Jesus, because he's going to talk about Jesus. And it's going to be a church event, and we're going to be going and meeting with all of our congressmen and our representatives while we're there, or at least with their aides, letting them know how frustrated we are with what's going on with the United States government. And so many of you have asked, well, what can we do as an individual? We're telling you right now. We're coming together and we're backing this not only with our money by our travel expenses and staying there, but none of us, as far as I know, are getting paid any speaking fees for being there. We're doing it because we want to promote this for Rodney Howard Brown and let everybody know that we're patriots and we want the United States back the way it was when we were kids. We basically want Mayberry back, which whether we get that back or not, at least we can slow down this global onslaught. And again, Doug and Joe have an incredible show tonight. It's from 8 to 11. It's called the Hagman and Hagman Report. You can click right on Hagman and Hagman and listen to the show live tonight. Who are your guests going to be tonight, Doug?
Joe?
In the first hour, I believe we're having one of the organizers of the event, Eric, on.
Okay, and good. I think now Rodney Howard Brown's going to be on with you sometime this week, too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's coming on. They're coming on the first hour today. It might just be Rodney. I'm not sure if Eric's coming on also. I got to call him.
Yeah, Ted, I goofed up on the schedule. I did not write down who was going to be on for the first hour. But the first hour is all going to be all about the Washington, D.C. event. And then the second hour is going to be Stan Dale.
Okay, great. So anyhow, so everybody, listen to the show tonight. You can hear Rodney or Eric, and you'll be able to find out more and more about what's going on. I'm also going to have Rodney on this show before the end of the week. So we'll be going back up there with him on Sunday after church service here in Tampa, and we'll be there all week, or at least I will be there all week. I know the Hagmans, I'm not sure how long you guys are planning on staying. But I just wanted to promote y'all's show tonight, talk about the event. Anything else that you want to promote, anything else you need to say about any of this stuff, Doug?
I just want to say, again, to your listening audience, you know, look, I know you didn't want to turn it into an infomercial, but one of the most important things that we have right now is our health. And I just want to publicly, again, thank you very much. The services that you provide, the product you provide is just second to none. And really, I owe my life, and I'm not trying to be, you know, hyperbolic, I owe my life to you. With respect to my blood sugar, I'd be injecting myself with insulin right now had you not intervened. So I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you very much for being a great part of our lives, a great part of our show. And anyone listening to this program, please make it up to Washington, D.C. next week. Support this revival that we need to have. And let's put some skin in the game.
That's right. That's exactly right. Now, what else you guys want to cover? We got about 5 more minutes left. I mean, I know we've covered all the stuff about, by the way, Putin now has come back again and said he wants absolutely no genetically modified crops or seeds in Russia at all. He said they have some of the richest farmland in the world. They don't need GMO seeds there. They don't want to be involved with it. Then he's not going to poison his own people with this Monsanto monstrosity. I mean, Putin is really taking a stand against the globalists, just like he took a stand against the Rothschild banking cartel and the Rothschild-controlled central bank in Russia last year. So whether this is all just posturing or really what he believes, I don't know. But at least he's giving some of the proper rhetoric out. He also said he's so disappointed in what's happened now as far as how we're leaving our Christian values in the United States and how we basically have decided that we're going to allow, you know, by court edict, the homosexuals to get married And quite frankly, the way I look at all of this, I think the state should completely drop all marriage license requirements and be done with any of this, because what's going to happen next is the churches, Doug, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong with this, if they refuse to marry somebody after they have a marriage license, after this edict has been taking place now from the Supreme Court, that church could actually be sued for not allowing that person to be married on their property, or the pastor not marrying that person. And we're going to have a plethora of lawsuits from all of these different activist groups that want to put these churches completely and totally out of business.
Yeah, at issue is their 501c3 status at the core of everything. And, of course, people need to understand how the 501c3 came into effect and how it was used by the churches and how it's being abused by the IRS. And you're absolutely right. This is not the end. People are saying that basically, okay, now the homosexual community has achieved equality. No. And it should be the end. No, it's not the end. This is the beginning. Really, this is the end of the beginning, and we're entering into an entirely new phase of what's about to take place, Ted, and I'm going to tell you something. Christians are in the crosshairs, churches are in the crosshairs, immorality, hedonism, is going to be the process of the day, and for that, I will say that, we are up for extreme judgment.
We have opened the floodgates to Sodom and Gomorrah. We have opened the floodgates to Genesis chapter 6, when the Bible says, when Moses wrote, that in those days, every deed of every man and every thought in his heart was evil all of the time. That's where we are now. And that's when Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. And we have basically opened up the book of Revelation because of this. And now we're going to have this whirlwind that we're going to capture that's going to come back upon the United States in judgment. As if the 60 million babies that we've aborted in this country wasn't enough, now we're going to have to deal with this from a karma, from a karma galactic standpoint with God. So this is going to be a mess.
Absolutely it is. And something you said earlier about the churches conforming, you know, to the world rather than just sticking with what is sound doctrine. This is one of the foundational issues in the church today, is the pastors are not sticking to the biblical, the New Testament and the Old Testament. They are creating their own doctrine. They are making, friends with the world. And we know that friendship with the world is enmity with the Lord. And this is why we see so much, disorganization and confusion inside the Christian church. And it's of our own doing, because we've, as members, haven't, done our own studying, haven't held our pastors to the truth, because we haven't sought the truth ourselves.
Well, we're coming up to the end of the show, Joe. Joe, Doug, thank you so much for being my guest today. Tomorrow, I'll be coming back solo again. We'll be going over about 10 or 15 more cutting-edge news stories, along with a bunch of health things that I want to cover with you guys. So, guys, thanks so much for being on with me today, Joe and Doug. God bless the listeners. Thanks so much for having the time and the wherewithal to stay here and be with me today. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
Yeah. Bye.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste. And even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.